So hi everyone, I'm Themos from the National Technical University of Athens, Greece, and I'd like to talk about a new approach to speaker clustering, which is based mainly on some concepts of, computer vision or image analysis. So that's what I'm trying to depict with this transition somehow. So the outline, I didn't destroy this. You hear me? Good. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of non-parametric density estimates, and then I'm going to describe based on this the baseline mean shift. Then I'm going to show why it requires adaptation in order to be compatible with our problem. And I'm going to show some Bayesian setting, which I'm going to show it exactly that it's nothing more than to seek the modes of the posterior. This includes to define the divergences, the proposed kernel, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the exponential family in order to see that, to show that at least for this family of distribution, there's, I think, no heuristic involved. Okay, so so what's this? Well, basically, it's a non-parametric approach to clustering. The number of cluster is not required known a priori, which means that it fits well to the problem. Okay, it's also a mode sig, and it should be considered as an alternative to hierarchical clustering, all these approaches. Their current application are basically image segmentation, stuff like that, but also object tracking recently. And my main reference is this seminal paper of Komanici and Mir and Pami. I recently checked it, it's something like, the citations are something like 3,000, so it's seminal indeed. Some examples from the paper, you have an image and you wanted to segment it based on the colors. Okay, and you have this at one parameterization, I think it's all you, never mind. Your target is to define these clusters. As you see, they are highly arbitrary shapes. So that's the reason why we go non-parametric. If you're going to find a parametric model, it will be a disaster. See this also, it's something like this. You see the modes? There are 7 modes. If you want to have a Gaussian distribution and to consider this, that will, it will fail probably to do anything. So another example, this continuous assumption, we have the origin of the bamboo here. And this is the color bandwidth, say I'm going to explain, and this also is the spatial bandwidth, how smooth you want to be. And by this way, you have different levels of smoothing. Okay, this is another example, again, from this paper. Very similar approaches. You wanted to extract the boundaries. So what you do a color segmentation first, and then you have this image. There are the boundaries, the same here. So the limitations now, in order to adapt it to apply it directly to our problem. Well, it acts on the space of observation, say the pixel space, in every parameterization. Okay, whereas there are several clustering tasks, like the one we have here, where the natural entities we have can only be described using parametric models. So, can we adapt it in order to be applicable to our problem, to such problems? There are many similar problems. Suppose we have some photographs with different analysis, and we wanted to cluster them unsupervisedly. This is the same problem. You're going to have to describe, let's say, via a multinomial distribution, each of the photo, and you want to, if you want to apply this mean shift algorithm in order to cluster them, you wanted to do this not on the observation space, which there is no Euclidean geometry, which is in Euclidean geometry, let's say, but to other spaces. So the proposed method, as I told you, is based on exponential family. It uses a Bayesian framework and uses some concepts of information geometry. Some. So standard non-parametric density estimation, you have some data by this X matrix, and you're using a parcel window in order, say, to smooth the empirical distribution, you convolve it with this kernel. Let's say for simplicity we have this radically symmetric kernel, say for it's a Gaussian, and the only parameter here is the H, the bandwidth. Okay, so something to parametric versus non-parametric. We covered a lot of stuff before, but what non-parametrically basically means is that you let your parameters grow linearly with your data. It doesn't mean that you don't have parameters actually, but your parameters are actually the data themselves, and plus some bandwidth, some stuff like that. Okay, and the bandwidth can be variable too. The basic problems are mainly that you don't have enough data to estimate properly. Okay, and as you have more and more the dimensions, you require more and more data, because of the dimensionality and all the stuff. But the point is, do we actually need to estimate robustly for each problem this underlying PDF? And the answer is no. For example, clustering. Consider the photos before. What we really require is a method to pick up the modes. Say there are seven. We should have an algorithm in order to pick up the modes, and a method to assign each of the observations to the appropriate mode, whatever this means. So should we require to estimate robustly the PDF? Not actually. If we can easily bypass this procedure. And that's what MinSif does. So recall the expression, find the modes, simply differentiate with respect to x, and set this to zero. Okay. After some maths, and because this is a square distance, you use square distance, you have this linearity. So define for easy the differential of the kernel with this g, and you have this simple formula. Apart from the constant, you have this and this. This is, you can interpret it as, say, the estimated PDF using the differential profile, and the other is a MinSif vector, the main result, this. What says is that it will vanish, okay, when you have this, say, weight average of all the pixels with respect to the differential kernel, all you need to do is to find a way to vanish this. If this is vanished, it means that you are in a mode. Okay, you don't actually estimate the density. You simply do this, and that implies the algorithm. So the algorithm goes like this. It's very intuitive. This is a MinSif vector. So for each of the observations, and the order does not matter at all, begin with it. Set it to say, x0. Calculate the MinSif vector like this. Okay. And simply add it to the current position until it converges. And they have proved that convergence is very trivial, and it's also in the Comanitius paper. So do this iteration for all the observations you have. Okay, and store each of the observations here, the convergent points. So, if two or more are at the same mode, they belong to the same cluster. Just simple as that. So, if you want to, suppose here is an observation, okay, the initial position, you see the trajectory, and it goes there, to the red curve, to the red ball. Just simple as that. That's the MinSif algorithm, the main idea, in the observation space. Okay. And you can cluster, as you see, arbitrary shapes. See this weird cluster, I mean. What parametric method can make this cluster be one? I mean, it's very, very, very difficult. So, forgive me for a while. So, how can we adapt this idea to be applicable to the space of distributions? Suppose speaker to Lassen problem. Say we have n utterances. Okay. Now forget about the Spiegel-Glassian loneliness. I'll take it more general. You have n distributions, parameterized, say, by theta. We should define a kernel. That means the shape and the distance, appropriate. Okay, and the PDF can be regarded as the posterior of theta. In which sense? In which sense? That you consider the density of theta given your observations and this zeta, which what zeta means? Oh, simply the cluster indicators of your initial segmentation. So if you consider the speaker clustering task in diarization mode, you apply a first segmentation. It might be uniform, it might be speaker change based on speaker change detector, and this is zeta. Okay, so in this sense, it's a posterior of theta. And here is an example. Suppose we have six initial segments. Okay, and this, the color indicates the segment, this is the overall posterior. So if we want to apply the same idea and begin with here, we will see that this cluster will be attracted only by itself. So it will create a segment by itself. Okay, the same happens to this. The other threes, we're going to have, they will be on the same cluster. We're going to have form a unique cluster. And the other, the last one, again, its own cluster. See this again in the 2D to be more fancy, but it's exactly the same idea. Okay, so it's like a higher level in the hierarchy. That's why that's the intuitive way to identify. You have the observations and the parameters, but now you are in the space of observations and you have the posterior. Okay, and the same way you want to express somehow the uncertainty in a smoother results by using this kernel in the observation domain, which is might be Gaussian, on the same way you have to express your uncertainty about the estimation. And as you see, why we should consider also the number, the sample size of its cluster. Well, suppose they have the same position, and suppose somehow all this corresponded to 10 times the sample size before. Well, then probably all of these clusters will be singletons. Each segment will be a single cluster, because we expect that as more data arrive, these three will merge will be more close. Okay, so there is certainly dependency on the sample size. If it's linear, it's not. It's linear only if the models are correctly specified. And in spiritualization, and especially if you're using single Gaussian models, there is a huge misspecification that you cannot consider this as linear. And that's a problem. So let's define the kernel. Let's see these delta deviations. These are some maths that I probably don't have time to explain, but consider this as a parameterized by delta family of deviations. The two extremes are the familiar KL diverge, and the other is by flipping the arguments, the other ones with delta equals to zero. Okay, the 1/2 corresponds to the Hellinger distance, and it's the only symmetric distance. But you can also symmetrize, as you know, the KL diverge by summing it or by taking the harmonic mean, and we use this approach. However, many interesting approaches can base on this Hellinger distance. Okay, and recall that this always happens no matter what the delta is. This is the Fisher information matrix, which is simply the metric tensor, if you consider it in the information geometry terms. So, having defined the shape, now consider, having defined the distance, let's define the shape of the kernels. We had the Gaussian in the observation space. Should be Gaussian and Longer. Well, it's another parameterization now, by this alpha. Okay, if you consider only alpha as equal to 1, then you have the exponential. Okay, and this should be considered as the Radon-Nikodym derivative density with respect to the information element, and this is the information element with respect to the Lebesgue measure, if you want to be correct. But anyway. So if you don't, simply consider A equals to 1, you have the other family, the polynomial family. And as Professor Kane explained to you yesterday, this is a very rich family too, the T distribution, if you want to consider, say, heavy-tailed priors. Okay, so it's a very nice interpretation that the next slide shows. I'm not going to analyze all this stuff, but all this can be considered by minimizing a cost function. Okay, here, this term is correspond to how much confidence you are, how confident you are about your measurement. So it should be somehow linear, gross linear, with the sample size, whereas this term tells you how close you want to be with the uninformative prior, the Jeffries prior, basically, which is simply the flat prior if you consider Euclidean geometry. As simple as that. So it's a minimization of a cost function. And here is just simply the average KL delta deviation. Okay, that's clear. And all these priors, the conjugate priors, all this stuff can be considered as simple parameterization of this family by this alpha and delta. So let's go back to the problem. Having defined all this stuff, so here is the posterior. We have, say, you have K segments. Okay, this is simply the Jeffries prior that you can be outside. And you have this. Suppose alpha equals to 1. Let's consider only this stuff. Okay, so this would be normally something like a wave. Nk are simply the number of samples you have of, for the kth segment. And L are all. Simply just like a wave. So you may consider it as a mixture of distributions. Okay, so the point is now, recall that we have differentiated with respect to x, and because of using the square distances, we came up with this formula. So the question is, will we do heuristics and by differentiating this stuff or not? And the point is that if you constrain yourself to the exponential family, then there is no heuristic at all. For example, for the normal distribution, you have these natural parameters that correspond to this parameterization, the sufficient statistic that acts naturally with the natural parameters, and the measure which is constant. And I'm not going to get into that indeed because the wine testing waits. So there is a doubly coupled parameter space, and is the expectation parameters, which is more close to what we usually treat in the speaker clustering. Okay, by exploiting the convexity of the log partition with respect to the theta, you end up with the expectation parameters. Okay, and by redifferentiate this stuff with respect to theta, you get the Fisher information matrix. Okay, all this stuff are from the classical statistics are well known. And this is the potential the two potential functions, which shows, demonstrate clearly why these are coupled. These spaces are coupled, the expectation parameters and the theta parameters. So if you want to average the same way you average between points in the Euclidean domain, you may consider also the expectation parameterization, the expectation parameters, or the natural parameters. And it depends on you, what you like to do. Okay, which geometry you wanted to your problem have, which more appropriate. So, the Kullback library, let's consider only the KL divergence, the two extremes, the 1 and 0, delta equals 1 or 0, you have this. These are all maths, but if you differentiate, you obtain something linear. Consider this. Consider also this. There is a final issue I would like to mention here that's not mentioned in my paper. You expect that by differentiating this and applying a gradient rule, you'll have a parameterization with a theta. But since you don't use the natural gradient, okay, since you don't consider the curve, that your space is curved, you differentiate with respect to theta and you switch parameterization, which is somehow weird. But if you use the natural gradient, which is simply defined as this, with this tilde, okay, now if you differentiate with respect to theta, you will remain to the same parameterization. Okay, there's no switching between this parameterization. So recall that in order to define a gradient rule, you should consider the curve of the space. So you should work with a natural gradient. So, the final. This is what you put in your MATLAB, this is the MATLAB code. Okay, recall it's the same again, iteration. Start from the first segment or the last, the order has no matter, it doesn't matter, and your next estimation will be an average of all the other segments in this parameterization, or in this parameterization, the theta, the natural parameters. It depends on you. So, suppose we have some segments, initial segments, and they are merged into 16 clusters. Each blue dot represents actually the mean value. Okay, the mean value of these two MFCC coefficients. Okay, and see how they merged into 16 clusters. And you also find some singleton clusters that simply they are attracted by themselves. So, something final before to go to the experiments. All these are good in theory, but due to the misspecification, as you know, you should somehow bias your results towards to have a continuity, because you know that a dialogue doesn't have a utterance of, say, 3 or 4 seconds. It's the same as applying a Dirichlet prior over a transition matrix to enforce somehow continuity. So what we do, we multiply, okay, by this Cauchy distribution. Okay, so if you are supposing in the kth segment, okay, you wanted to emphasize your neighborhood, but not in a way the Gaussian does it. Okay, not in such a way, because if you do it with a Gaussian way, the first and the last segment won't form the same cluster never. You want to do it more mildly in a heavy tailed. Yeah, sorry. I told you the one way. So, is there a database? Okay, I'm sure you are aware, you know of this. It's a very rich database, Broadcast News. Okay, and we compare it to the standard Delalbig hierarchical approach. You won't find any super duper wow results. The best configuration we found with Localbig is this. We fix the lambda tuning parameter using the development, and then we have this result in the test set, and the MS corresponds to the mean shift. Exactly, using only single Gaussian full covariance matrix, no GMMs at all, and we see that the harmonic mean it was the best of all, and the others are rather close enough. Not though, if you use in the hierarchical clustering simple KL divergence, would be a tragedy. This is because of the big criterion, but you cannot use big in our approach, and that's a problem. You cannot use this stuff. So, to finish, what we saw, an adaptation of an algorithm that acts on the space of observation to a space of parameters. Okay, we use some reasonable, I think, Bayesian arguments in order to make this transition. Okay, and we saw that at least for the exponential family, there is no heuristic involved in this stuff. So, when these are relevant, to be honest, you want to obtain a point estimate about your hidden variables. Do this stuff, do hierarchical clustering, or if you want to have a real, you consider all real-time apps. But if you want to do inference, you don't use this stuff. You don't use hierarchical clustering either. Okay, you use Dirichlet processes, you use MCMC, you use variational Bayes. Okay, so one final, GMMs, certainly you can. If you consider the complete data, the complete data likelihood, then the GMMs belong to the exponential family. Yeah, but you need to have a correspondence. So you need to start with a UBM, with a common UBM. Why? Because if you consider the complete data likelihood, you only consider KL divergence between corresponding Gaussians, plus a term for the different weights if you also allow the trains, the weights to be trained. Also, I-vectors. I'm sure you can use this algorithm, even the original misshift. However, if you use I-vectors, note that you have different segments. So the variability of the estimate should also be a part of your problem. So somehow you should play with the bandwidth, allow the bandwidth to be dependent on the sample size, okay, to encode this uncertainty in these estimates. Thank you.
Thanks, and sorry for stressing you, but I wanted to keep some time for some questions, sure. Two or three quick questions or comments. Quick.
Okay, I'll be very quick. It's a simple answer. It's on. You were optimizing, you were trying to find the mode of the PDF. So you were doing gradient descent. So you're able to compute the gradient, but do I understand correctly that you're not able to compute the value of the PDF? So you're doing the optimization without being able to evaluate?
You don't need, actually. You can. This is the it has analytical type, but it's not correct. It's based on a, you know, it's a, it's a simple estimate. What the idea behind mean shift algorithm is that you don't actually need to estimate the overall PDF. You can bypass this problem by using the gradient. That's the idea.
Yes, no, it's just a practical thing because my favorite optimization algorithm needs to evaluate the objective function, so I can't use it for yours.
Okay, sure. After drinking the wine.
More questions or comments?
A general question about the mean shift. If you start out by hypothesizing 10 clusters, you will always get 10 clusters. Is that correct?
No, you don't.
Some clusters can drop out.
The number of clusters is completely inferred from the algorithm. You don't predefine the number of clusters. It depends only if the points converge to the same value.
So you don't need big.
Big?
Yeah. You said that not being able to incorporate big.
Of course. First of all, you cannot have big because big implies a marginalization with respect to the parameters.
Okay, but if the clusters drop out. Naturally, if clusters die away naturally, you can hope to find the correct number of clusters without using a big type criterion.
Sure. Okay. I'm not using any because that's what called the comparison with the hierarchical clustering. Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure.